All praise and thanks are due to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and we send salutations and peace upon our beloved Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Respected ulama, beloved elders, our dear educators and fellow learners, I greet you with a universal greeting of love, peace and respect. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. On behalf of Islamia College, Masjidul Furqan and the extended family, we would like to wish each and everyone Jumu'ah Mubarak. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us all a blessed week ahead, inshallah, ameen. And we make dua for our brothers and sisters in Palestine and for Allah to grant them victory over the oppressors, ameen. Our speaker for today, I'm sure, needs no introduction. So without further ado, I hand over to Sheikh Sa'adullah Khan, our very own CEO of Islamia College. Shukran. Assalamu alaikum.
أعوذ بالله بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله الحمد لله والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله وعلى آله الطيبين الطاهرين وعلى أصحابه المنتجبين وعلى جميع الأنبياء والمرسلين. قال الله تعالى في القرآن الكريم بعد أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم يرفع الله الذين آمنوا منكم والذين أوتوا العلم درجات صدق الله العلي العظيم. وقال النبي حبيبنا المصطفى صلوات الله وسلامه عليه وعلى أهل بيته وأصحابه إنما بعثت معلما. وقال صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم إنما بعثت لأتمم مكارم الأخلاق أو كما قال صدقت يا رسول الله. In the name of Allah, most gracious, most merciful, all praise is due to our creator, our cherisher, our nourisher and our sustainer. We bear witness there's none worthy of worship but Allah. We bear witness we believe in all the prophets who came throughout history. And we bear witness that Prophet Muhammad ibn Abdullah, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam, is the final of all the emissaries of Allah. Respected elders, mothers, brothers and sisters, educators, learners, I greet you with the Islamic universal greeting of peace at this auspicious hour of Jumu'ah. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi ta'ala wa barakatuh. This is the first Friday of the 2024 academic year, and we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to open the avenues to greater heights for all students at every institution and to pave the pathways of success for all matriculants and all our matriculants who have received their results today. We are well aware that teaching and learning holds an extra special position, an extra special status in Islam. Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam said, إِنَّمَا بُعِثُ مُعَلِّمًا, I have been sent as a teacher. He also said, إِنَّمَا بُعِثُ لِأُتَمِّمَ مَكَارِمَ الْأَخْلَاقِ, I have been commissioned, I have been sent, I have been tasked with the responsibility of improving human conduct and human pattern of behavior. So these prophetic traditions emphasize the significance of education, of learning, also of ethical values and moral conduct. It was that very Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam who emphasized ma nahala walidun waladan afdalu min adabin hasan. No person gives a child a better gift, a better inheritance, a better legacy than knowledge and good moral training. When we look at our society, much of the investment of parents and most of the time of young people is invested in education, invested in the engagement with developmental learning, invested in the pursuit of knowledge. Knowledge, as we know, is the key to human progress. And the acquisition of that knowledge is absolutely essential in enabling the human being to fulfill his or her mission to effectively function as Khalifatullah fil ard, the vicegerent of Allah on earth. And therefore, the first thing that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala did when commissioning Adam alayhi salam, the forefather of humanity, when he commissioned him as Khalifatullah fil ard, as the vicegerent of Allah on earth, what did he do? وَعَلَّمَ آدَمَ الْأَسْمَاءَ كُلَّهَا. He empowered Adam alayhi salam firstly with knowledge. Hence the prophetic injunction, طَلَبُ الْعِلْمِ فَرِيضَةً عَلَى كُلِّ مُسْلِمٍ. The seeking of knowledge is obligatory upon every Muslim, and as the ulama said, يعني المسلم ومسلمة. المسلمة هي داخل في لفظ المسلم, for every Muslim, whether it be male or female, making sure that there's no gender barrier to learning. He also said, seek knowledge, the wise ones have said, seek knowledge from the cradle to the grave. أطلب العلم من المهدي إلى اللحد. And our forefathers and scholars have said, seek knowledge, أطلب العلم ولو بالصين, seek knowledge even if it be in China. In other words, there's no geographical boundaries to learning, there's no age boundaries to learning, there's no gender barriers to learning. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam further encourages in a hadith documented in the Sahih of Imam Muslim, من سلك طريقا يلتمس فيه علما سهل الله له طريقا إلى الجنة. Whoever treads a path, whoever goes out in search of knowledge, of learning, Allah eases the way and paves the way for such a person towards paradise. Then we see the significance and centrality and the importance of knowledge, of education, of teaching, for example, being the mission of prophets as part of the main missions. All these statements that I've mentioned from the hadith and the words of the wise and of the ulama and the hukama clearly indicate that centrality and sanctity of knowledge and education in Islam. Now, education implies, when we say in Islam, education, it implies to learn, ta'aleem. It implies also tazayud or tazkiyah, purification, but also an increase, an enhancement, which means tatweer or tahseen, to improve, or ta'aziz, to develop the self. And therefore the poet says, ta'allam fa'inna al-ilma zaynun li-ahli wa fadluwan wa unwanun li-kulli al-mahamid tafaqqah fa'inna al-fiqh afdalu qaid إِلَى الْبِرِّ وَالتَّقْوَى وَأَعْدَلُ قَاصِدٍ. Learn, because knowledge is a beauty for the one who has it. It's a virtue and a gateway to all praiseworthy achievements and objectives. And it grants you the gaining of understanding, and that understanding is a form of guidance towards righteousness, towards piety, and towards justice, which is the noblest of objectives. These matriculants who receive their results today have experienced two major catastrophes during the high school years. These matriculants who have received their results today have experienced two major catastrophes during the high school years. One, starting with the global COVID-19 pandemic, and secondly, the ending their school year witnessing a genocide unfolding in Palestine. We are living in an increasingly challenging world, challenging politically, economically, socially, morally. We see an open massacre of unarmed, innocent population in occupied Palestine, where the occupiers continue aggressive and systematic targeting, forget of everything else, but talking of education, of schools, of universities, of educational institutions in the Gaza Strip, by bombing and destroying buildings. All of these, of course, evident war crimes. More than 390 learning institutions, whether schools, madrasas, universities, educational institutions, have been destroyed. More than 390 in the last 100 days. And the most recent, which was the bombing of Al-Isra University, and also an Islamic university, which was first bombed on the 11th of October and bombed again to smithereens 2 days ago. Targeting and destroying centers of learning, and we are at the center of learning here at Islamia. Targeting and destroying centers of learning is not a mark of civilized, educated people. Rather, it's evidence of brutality, of brutal barbarism, and of jahiliyyah in its rawest form. And leaders of the so-called civilized Western world are in full support of such devastation, while most Arab governments and many Muslim countries, subservient to the colonial masters, have remained cowardly silent. All of this raises a moral dilemma for today's students and learners, as well as educators. When we learn, when we educate, how will that education prepare these learners to take on the challenges of an increasingly prejudiced world, an Islamophobic world, a world where our very humanity as human beings is at stake? The world, just to indicate the pace of change and things, the World Economic Forum estimates that 65% of students who are entering grade one this year, 65% of them will enter ultimately in jobs that do not exist as yet. This is how much the world is likely to change. Now, change can be good. Change can be good if that change enhances our humanity, if it prepares us to be caretakers and managers of Allah's affairs on earth, truly to be Khalifatullah fil ardh, for sojourners of Allah on earth, taking on the mantle from Adam alayhi salam. But the pathways to change that seems to be dominant, as promoted by the contemporary media and movies and trendsetters, is very alarming and very disconcerting indeed. We are not living as proper human beings with the basic etiquette of being human, and there's a talk of transhumanism, of posthumanism. One of the most celebrated advocates of transhumanism, in other words, human beings going to a different level of being, is Dr. Max Moore, a futurist who writes and speaks and consults on advanced decision-making about emerging technologies. He says, no more gods, and I quote him, no more gods, no more faith, no more timid holding back. The future belongs to post-humanity, not to human beings, to post-humanity, beyond what human beings are today. And advocates of this transhumanism argue that recruitment or deployment of these various types of technology in itself is not bad, but produce people who are intelligent and immortal, those who are not members of the species as we find them today, but who could be cyborgs, partly human, part machine. The indoctrination of this kind of philosophy has been in full swing for some years. Many of the popular video games that our own ones play in our homes, many of these students who daily use this kind of thing for entertainment in their free time, at times spending hours, nights, it's a platform where players can live out what it feels like to have a cybernetic parts and to see how amazing it is to break the limits of human physiology in these video games. Though fun to play, it also gives a false impression of indestructibility, setting the platform for the acceptance of this as the future norm. You look at some of the most popular games. Cyberpunk 2077, Blood Dragon, BioShock, Halo series, all these are very, very popular. If the elders don't know, be rest assured all our young ones know about it. All these are popular games, and each and every one of them depicts violence, guns, weapons, and killing as central to the theme of the game. Each one of them. And this is part of what our young minds are constantly being entertained with. They're not forced to watch it. They choose it as entertainment. It has become the norm. And this begs the question, not questioning them whether they should play the game or not. I'm not going into that. I'm just saying to you how far it has gone. This has become entertainment. This is what they choose to do after they've studied. When they have a break, this is what they occupy themselves with. This begs the question, what kind of empathy can you cultivate from such minds and into such minds if they find enjoyment in transhumans causing death, destruction, and mayhem? There is a constant open challenge of identity that arises from all this, a manufactured crisis that undermines the very essence of being human. I believe that here is undoubtedly a psychological conditioning, a biological tempering, educational prepping, cultural grooming to make us acquiesce and accept a post-human future. In the process, they are messing with the balance of nature. Messing with the balance of nature. Allah tatghaw fil mizan, and Allah warns in Surah Ar-Rahman to not disrupt the balance of nature. How did an intelligent species like ours reach such a level of dystopia, disconnection from the reality and acceptance of our being dehumanized? We seem to be living in a hyper-controlled matrix where the World Bank and the UN dictate and decide on matters that impact on all of us without our consent, controlling and steering us and even our governments in directions we never intended to go. They influence what you medically do, as we saw in COVID-19, and also the LGBTQI issue given prominence in our curriculum. They are making our children question the most fundamental notion of the human identity and the biological reality of being male or female, by indoctrinating them that never mind how nature assigned you, never mind how nature assigned you, because God is not even in their picture. How God created you, forget God created you. How nature assigned you, don't mind that. Your identification as male or female is now an arbitrary choice. If others make you believe that you do not know who you are, they could easily influence you to make you believe what you are not and make you agree to do things that you would not otherwise do. And this is a sense of shamelessness. That's why things can happen openly in society. Much of it, murder, the kind of immorality. It's not just immorality, the kind of immorality is the norm now. Because there's no sense of shame. And the Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wasallam said in the hadith, documented the sahih of Imam al-Bukhari. He said, not only did he say it, he said it comes throughout the traditions of prophets throughout history. He said, inna mimma adraka an-nas min kalam an-nubuwwah idha lam tastahi faf'al ma shi'ta. Verily, among the words that we have advice and the words that we have obtained from the prophets of the past and throughout, if you feel no shame, that's the time you do just as you please. There seems to be a destabilizing, a perplexing, demoralizing and dehumanizing of humanity. If governments or institutions do not subscribe, they could be excluded, like South Africa. You could be sidelined. No investment from big corporations. No trade with major conglomerate companies. No loan from the World Bank, who constantly keep you indebted. For example, just because of South Africa's stance on the Palestinian issue, South Africa may directly lose $870 billion in trade. You're going to pay for it. Punishment for exercising your moral conscience in defense of those innocent who the West do not care about. No wonder the world can sigh. No wonder. In that world, which our kids have to prepare themselves for, which we are preparing them for. No wonder the world can side with the occupying oppressor of Palestine without feeling any empathy for the thousands of innocent, defenseless Palestinians who are killed, over 23,000 massacred in 100 days, over 9,000 buried under rubble, mostly women and children buried under rubble. This is indeed a world with an inverted, a twisted sense of morality. Or rather, no sense at all. A world that's increasingly promoting misinformation. Where there's an increase, where is the increase? There seems to be an increase in natural stupidity on the one hand and artificial intelligence on the other. We, as people of faith, believe that Islam is able to fulfill, as it has throughout history, and today and beyond today, fill the modern need for moral vision and creative illumination of the human conscience in a technicalist world. But to realize all of that, Muslims need to be educated. Muslims need to be proactive. Stop the infighting. Stop the undermining of one another. Stop the takfir. Stop the fighting over secondary issues. They are busy trying to wipe us out altogether, and we're fighting over issues and debates that are irrelevant and that we've been arguing over for the past 1100 years. And it'll still be there after 1100 years. Muslims need to be educated, to elevate themselves, elevate their consciousness, to be proactive, practical, to be relevant and conscious. And for all of us, our learners and ourselves, to realize that life is a test, that life is temporary, and we have the responsibility of being the best that we can be and being instruments for benefiting the world. We are duty bound. We are duty bound by Islam to manifest ihsan and itqan, as we always say. Inna Allaha kataba al-ihsan ala kulli shay. Allah has prescribed excellence, not in some things, not in your salah, not in your zakah, in everything you do. Whether you're writing, you're an artist, you're a teacher, you write an exam, you play soccer, whatever you do, do it with excellence. Allah has prescribed, it's fard. Like kutiba alaykum as-siyam, Allah has prescribed excellence in every single thing you do. And that's a mark of a believer. When you celebrate results, you celebrate that mark of excellence. It's an Islamic philosophy. It's the Islamic culture supposed to be. And itqan, excellence and goodness. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in hadith documented by Imam al-Suyuti in his Jami' al-Saghir, inna Allah ta'ala yuhibbu idha amala ahadukum amalan ay yutqina. Allah loves when you do anything, make sure you do it with excellence and to the best of your ability. I conclude by reminding us that nothing affirms our humanity more than our capacity to empathize. Empathize with those who are in need, those who need to be uplifted, those who are oppressed, those who are sidelined. It is this frame of heart that enables us to feel the agony and the pains experienced by others, and to treat others as we would like to be treated, and to do our best to make the world a better place, one good deed at a time. The condition of the current world does not appear ideal. And the future seems bleak. But that is exactly where the true believer is tested. Rasulullah came to Makkah just to bring light in a period of jahiliyyah. Allah didn't bring him when everything was going well, and he came to Makkah and everybody embraced him. His own relatives kicked him out of Makkah. They all chased his followers out of Makkah. He came in the darkness, because in the darkest moment, the smallest light shines bright. The condition of the current world does not appear ideal. The future seems bleak, but a believer is never pessimistic. That's exactly where the true believer is tested. إِذَا أَرَادَ اللَّهُ بِعَبْدٍ خَيْرًا إِسْتَعْمَلَهُ فِي قَضَاءِ حَوَائِجِ النَّاسِ. When Allah wishes well for you, He grants you the capacity to be an instrument in fulfilling the needs of others and being a source of goodness. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant that all of those, our young ones inshallah, who are starting the school year, may they become ambassadors of goodness, global citizens of excellence. May they be of those who leave a better world behind than the one we gave to them. أقول قولي هذا وأستغفر الله والسلام عليكم ورحمة الله. I'll ask Brother Ahmed Chuan just to make an announcement regarding the results of the school, inshallah. Brother Ahmed.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. It's again that time of the year where I have to take the opportunity of coming to the front. I never come to the front. I try not to come to the front. We sit there at the back and see what's happening here in front. So annually, I am privileged, honored, and ecstatic to first is about 39 years old. When we started this particular institution, we had the vision of Islamia College being a center of excellence, being at the height of academic achievement. And we all thought, when will it be in our lifetime? And yes, the chairman is sitting at the back with the board, Mr. Osman, Mr. Dansei, Mr. Ruknuddin and Mr. Razak and others, and those who are sitting here, we have achieved it. We have achieved it. We thought, Mr. Mahmoud Osman, it won't be in our lifetime. Mr. Dansei and Ruknuddin, it has come that we can say that we are proud that we have done it. And we'll be fortunate that the boys will be partaking in the Jummah, in that they will be actively involved, where they'll have a roster of students who will be giving the first azan, second azan, and the iqama, and when need be, the salah of Jummah. And I'm using this opportunity, Mr. Osman and the committee members and the CEO, Sheikh Sadullah and Sheikh Ismail Isaacs, and we're putting a challenge to you on behalf of the Musallis, and I'm sure you're all going to agree with me, and I would like to say yes afterwards. Please support me. We want to see the students giving the khutbah here, inshallah. This is a challenge for 2024. We have been begging this for the last few years. Mr. Osman, Nazir Osman, as a chairperson, fulfill our wish in our lifetime, so that when they leave here, they can go to universities or colleges or even at workplaces and perform the khutbahs, because they've been taught by Islamia College, inshallah. Jamam, we take this opportunity to congratulate our CEO, Sheikh Sadullah Khan, all the teachers, if that's the right terminology I'm using nowadays, the principals, the teachers, and all the students and the family of Islamia College on the brilliant, excellent results which they have achieved. We congratulate the matriculants of 2023. Alhamdulillah, they achieved 99.2% pass. Takbir. Only one student failed. Now, you know, every year we ask, and I ask that, Mr. Osman, now why do you not weed out that one student so that we can get 100%? He said, that's not the philosophy of Islamia. Islamia College gives everybody an opportunity. You don't know when that person can excel and also pass. If you start weeding out, you will not get as achievements which you get. Furthermore, they have achieved 166 subject distinctions. 13 of the Islamia College matriculants obtained an A aggregate. And the message I got here didn't include, Sheikh Sadullah, that number of your matriculants even qualified as Hufaz and Hafiza. 14 of them also qualified while they were students at this particular institution of which we are the family. Quran, Hafiz, and Hafizas. Allahu Akbar. So on behalf of all of us, and more particularly the Musallis and the Jama'ah, we congratulate the Islamia College fraternity, more particular CEO, the principals, the teachers, Mr. Osman, the chairman, Nazir Osman, and the board members. You make us proud, and we are very, very fortunate and privileged to host you always in our masjid. This masjid, a place on the record and publicly, has been built primarily for the students and the family of Islamia College. Jazakallah khair. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Jazakallah khair. We say shukran to Sheikh Sa'adullah Khan for his inspirational and wise words. We make dua for Sheikh Sa'adullah to have a long and healthy life filled with barakah. Ameen. And we also thank Mr. Jawan for addressing us regarding the matric results. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant him many more years with us, inshallah. Ameen. There are just a few announcements. We make dua for Ashik Jacobs, a grade 10 learner at Islamia College, who is undergoing a procedure at the hospital. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make it so that his procedure is a success, and that his recovery is swift, inshallah. Ameen. The first annual Seerat Jalsa will be held at Islamia College on the 24th of January 2024 at 5 p.m., coinciding with the 16th of Rajab 1445. Speakers such as Mufti Ismail Mink, Maulana Ibrahim Baam, Maulana Sulaiman Rawat, and Sheikh Zaid Mahmoud and Maulana Ahmad Aku will all be in attendance, with Qira'a and Nasheed being rendered by local ulama and qurra. Women are welcome to attend. Alhamdulillah, once again, Islamia College has the honor of officiating the Jumu'ah. The first adhan will be made by Ahmad Mukaddam, and the second adhan will be made by Adam Aaron, both students at Islamia College. I kindly ask if all musallis can please stand and fill any gaps so that there is no time wasted between the khutbah and the salah. Shukran. Wassalamu alaikum.
This Irat Adhi, the Seerah program will take place the 28th, inshallah, the 28th of January, inshallah. This is the coming weekend, inshallah, on Sunday, the 28th, inshallah. Next weekend, yes. Next weekend, the 28th, inshallah. Jazakallah khairan.
Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar. Ashhadu an la أشهد أن محمد رسول الله حي على الصلاة حي على الصلاة حي على الفلاح حي على الفلاح الله أكبر
Inshallah, we also make dua for one of the committee members' son, Mahmoud Osman's son, Feroz, who underwent the operation. We make dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant the operation to be a success. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant him complete shifa. Amen, ya Rabbul Alameen. Jazakumullah khairan.
عليكم ورحمة الله تعالى وبركاته.
لا حول ولا قوة إلا
بالله. حي على الفلاح. حي على الفلاح. الله أكبر الله أكبر. لا إله إلا الله.
لا إله إلا الله. أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله. الحمد لله حمدا كثيرا كما أمر. وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له. وأشهد أن سيدنا ونبينا ومولانا محمدا عبده ورسوله. يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله. ولتنظر نفس ما قدمت لغد واتقوا الله إن الله خبير بما تعملون. يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله وقولوا قولا سديدا يصلح لكم أعمالكم ويغفر لكم ذنوبكم ومن يطع الله ورسوله فقد فاز فوزا عظيما. أما بعد، فقد قال الله تعالى في القرآن المجيد والفرقان الحميد بعد أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم: والسماء رفعها ووضع الميزان ألا تطغوا في الميزان وأقيموا الوزن بالقسط ولا تخسروا الميزان. وقال الله تعالى: يرفع الله الذين آمنوا منكم والذين أوتوا العلم درجات. صدق الله العلي العظيم. وقال النبي حبيبنا المصطفى صلوات الله وسلامه عليه وعلى أهل بيته وأصحابه: إنما بعثت معلما. وقال صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم: إنما بعثت لأتمم مكارم الأخلاق. وقال صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم: إذا أراد الله بعبد خيرا استعمله في قضاء حوائج الناس، أو كما قال: صدقت يا رسول الله. أقول قولي هذا وأستغفر الله العظيم لي ولكم ولسائر المسلمين والمسلمات، فاستغفروا إنه هو الغفور الرحيم. الحمد لله. الحمد لله رب العالمين، الرحمن الرحيم، مالك يوم الدين، إياك نعبد وإياك نستعين. الحمد لله الذي لم يتخذ ولدا ولم يكن له شريك في الملك ولم يكن له ولي من الذل، وكبره تكبيرا. الله أكبر. الحمد لله. الحمد لله الذي هدانا لهذا وما كنا لنهتدي لولا أن هدانا الله. نحمده ونستعينه ونستهدي، ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا، من يهدي الله فلا مضل له، ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، ونشهد أن سيدنا ونبينا ورسولنا وحبيبنا وشفيعنا وسيدنا وسندنا ومولانا محمد عبده ورسوله. قال الله تعالى في شأن حبيبي: يا أيها النبي إنا أرسلناك شاهدا ومبشرا ونذيرا وداعيا إلى الله بإذنه وسراجا منيرا. فقال الله تعالى برحمتك يا أرحم الراحمين عباد الله رحمكم الله، إن الله يأمر بالعدل والإحسان وإيتاء ذي القربى وينهى عن الفحشاء والمنكر والبغي يعظكم لعلكم تذكرون، ولذكر الله أكبر والله يعلم ما تصنعون. أقم الصلاة. لا إله إلا الله محمد رسول الله. استقيم رحمكم الله استقيم عتجل. الله أكبر. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم، الحمد لله رب العالمين، الرحمن الرحيم، مالك يوم الدين، إياك نعبد وإياك نستعين، اهدنا الصراط المستقيم، صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم، والضحى والليل إذا سجى ما ودعك ربك وما قلى، وللآخرة خير لك من الأولى، ولسوف يعطيك ربك فترضى، ألم يجدك يتيما فآوى، ووجدك ضالا فهدى، ووجدك عائلا فأغنى، فأما اليتيم فلا تقهر، وأما السائل فلا تنهر، وأما بنعمة ربك فحدث. الله أكبر. سمع الله لمن حمده. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم، الحمد لله رب العالمين، الرحمن الرحيم، مالك يوم الدين، إياك نعبد وإياك نستعين، اهدنا الصراط المستقيم، صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين. آمين. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم، إذا جاء نصر الله والفتح، ورأيت الناس يدخلون في دين الله أفواجا، فسبح بحمد ربك واستغفر إنه كان توابا. الله سمع الله لمن حمده. الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر السلام عليكم ورحمة الله السلام عليكم ورحمة الله استغفر العظيم استغفر العظيم استغفر العظيم التواب الرحيم الذي لا إله إلا هو الحي القيوم نتوب إليك ونسألك التوبة والمغفرة والهداية لنا فإنك أنت التواب الرحيم سبحان الله والحمد لله ولا إله إلا الله والله أكبر ولا حول ولا قوة إلا بالله العلي العظيم اللهم احفظ شعبنا في فلسطين اللهم انصر إخواننا المجاهدين والمظلومين والمستضعفين في كل مكان ربي يسر ولا تعسر فأنت الميسر يا أكرم الأكرمين اللهم اشف مرضانا وارحم موتانا اللهم احفظنا من كل بلاء الدنيا وعذاب الآخرة فالله خير حافظا وهو أرحم الراحمين اللهم أنت السلام ومنك السلام وإليك يعود السلام فحينا ربنا بالسلام وادخلنا الجنة برحمتك دارك دار السلام تباركت ربنا وتعاليت وتعظمت وتكرمت يا ذا الجلال والإكرام سمعنا وأطعنا غفرانك ربنا وإليك المصير وصلى الله تعالى على سيدنا محمد النبي الأمي نبي الرحمة نبي الهدى وعلى أهل بيتي وصحبي أجمعين سبحان ربنا رب العزة عما يصفون وسلام على المرسلين والحمد لله رب العالمين.